good to see you in the house of the Lord tonight. Won't you take a hymnal? Church, choir, stand with me. Turn page 139. Let's sing what he was playing at Calvary. Father, we do thank you for the opportunity we have to be in your house here this evening. Lord, you've been good to us today, and Lord, we look back over the day and just realize how good you have been. Giving us an opportunity to be in your house this morning, we felt your presence in this place. We heard the preaching of the word, the songs of Zion, Lord, to lift up your name. And Lord, we have another opportunity to do that this evening. Lord, we thank you for it. Be with us tonight. Lord, I pray that you be with every prayer request that was mentioned this morning. Lord, so many people are going through some very difficult times, and we just pray, Lord, that you touch each one. Give them the peace, Lord. It does pass all understanding. Again, be with us tonight. We'll praise you and thank you for all that's accomplished. Be with our pastor as he speaks in a few moments. In Jesus' name. If you will, stand with me. Church, you can remain seated. Turn over to page number 57 if you need it. Let's sing the first and the last of Amazing Grace.
Oh,
singing tonight. I just want to mention once again this evening. I mentioned it this morning, and I know some were not here, and I just want to kind of reiterate what we were talking about this morning, and that is I had made mention that over the past years of being here at Calvary, some of the greatest times that I remember are the times of Jubilee. Such great times, great meetings, Holy Spirit-filled church every night. It was just great. The great speakers that the Lord's blessed us with down through the years, all the groups. But the greatest thing of all was the presence of the Holy Spirit. And I believe that one of the reasons for that was that we asked Him to be here. And so in those times, in those years, we would have a 24-hour cycle of prayer. Then we had someone here every hour, and they would come in, they would pray. We'd have lights down, some music playing in the background, just come in and pray and spend an hour here with the Lord. And you'd be amazed at what the Lord will bring to your mind when you begin to talk to Him. But those were some great times. We would pray for the speakers, pray for the groups that were coming, for pastor, for direction and guidance. And it was just a great time. And I know that many of you that have been here with us all those years will remember those. So I really felt like a couple of weeks ago that the Lord laid it on my heart for us to have an opportunity to be able to do that again. So I asked the pastor, went and talked with him this morning, and he said, absolutely, you know, that'd be a great thing. And so we're going to have you a list next week. We're going to do things that may be a little bit different. We're asking, first of all, that no ladies would come here alone. If you want to couple up with somebody and come and pray, that's perfectly fine. You may even want to, you may even feel more comfortable just maybe taking an hour at your house. And just if you, that would make you feel more comfortable. We don't want anybody to feel like, well, I don't want to get out at night, or I don't feel comfortable. Brother Randy has already said that he's going to be here for the whole 24 hours. So someone will be here. You won't be alone. If you want to come, please feel welcome to come. The church will be open. Brother Randy will be here. Some other guys probably will take on some of that time as well. But if you would be willing just to give the Lord an hour and just ask Him to do some things this year in our Jubilee, I believe with all of my heart that it will be a blessing. And I believe that the Lord will answer if we will call unto Him and ask Him to do some great things during this year of Jubilee. But again, there'll be a sign-up sheet down front, and we're just asking everybody to sign up. Let's see if we can cover 24 hours, spend some time with the Lord, and ask Him to do some great things in our Jubilee this year. If you have any questions about that, please feel free to get with me sometime after the service. You can call me, text me, whatever, and we'll make sure that everybody knows kind of what's going on. Some have never done that before. And so it'll be a great opportunity for you just to spend some time in prayer and ask the Lord to save someone this year, first of all. Amen. And then to draw us closer to Him. Give us a spirit of revival and just see what God wants to do. I said this morning, God hasn't changed. I think the problem is that we've changed. If we want God to do something, we'll ask Him and we'll see what He won't do this year, in the days and the months and the year to come. So I hope that you'll get as excited about that as the Lord has made me to be excited about it. And I'll try my best to make things as easy as I can for you. Again, the list will be down here next Sunday morning. Go ahead and just sign up on a slot, and let's see if we can't feel that thing for the Lord, for His goodness. Amen. You pray as the choir sings, "Look What God Has Done For You."
Looks like we've got some cool weather on the way. And wow, I tell you, they said if it's going to snow again, it's going to be this week. And if not, then that's it till next year. So, but anyway, plan accordingly. For some reason, I always feel like I got to tell the weather before I preach. I don't know why. Maybe I want to later in life apply to be a weatherman. But anyway, good to be here tonight. Good to see everybody. And we had special prayer this morning for our young people and our leaders going on the trip. And our prayers are continuing for you guys. Hope you have a wonderful time. And just have a wonderful, wonderful time skiing and a spiritual time as well. All right, if you have your Bibles, please take your Bibles and go to 1 Samuel 25. 1 Samuel 25. We started a message this morning talking about Abigail. Abigail. Although we didn't yet highlight Abigail, we did mention two other people this morning. In fact, we mentioned two fellas that had a lot to do with this story. We mentioned Nabal, and his name is mentioned in 1 Samuel 25, and verse number 3. And we know that Nabal was the husband of Abigail. And of course, we talked about Nabal, then we talked about David a little bit. We know that David had a part in the story. And we know that David and his men, we're just going to summarize a little bit, and then we're going to finish up with Abigail tonight. David and his men, after the death, of course, of Samuel in verse 1, went down to Paran. And so it was while they were there, of course, many believe that David was, again, running for safety from Saul. But it was at the death of Samuel that he left, and so he went. And he went to a place called Carmel. And it was at Carmel where Nabal, he had his, the Bible says in verse number 2, his 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. And his men were shearing there. And we talked about how that David, out of the kindness of his heart, would look after Nabal's pasture, make sure there was no thievery taking place, no predators getting his animals. And there came a point in time where David wanted some compensation for that. And so he sent his servants, or a servant, over to talk to Nabal. And here's what Nabal had to say. Notice, if you would, in verse number 10. And Nabal answered David's servants and said, "Who is David? Who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my shearers and give it unto men whom I know not whence they be?" We're talking about a wealthy man here, Nabal. Now, granted, David didn't ask to protect his sheep for wages or for food, but it was out of the kindness of his heart he did so. And only what he asked for in exchange was indeed food for his men to eat. That's the only thing he asked for. I don't believe that was too much to ask, you know, for his men to eat, coming from a rich man, Nabal. And so we know that Nabal, he refused to give any substance to David's and David's men. And this made David angry. He got so angry, notice what happens in verse 13. And David said unto his men, gird ye on every man his sword. And they girded on every man his sword, and David also girded on his sword. And there went up after David about 400 men, and 200 abode by the stuff. David was out for blood. David was going to kill Nabal and his men. We said this morning that that's kind of out of character for David. David, on one occasion, and several even, had opportunity to kill Saul, didn't he? And he didn't do that. But yet now he is out for blood. And we asked the question, what was the difference? Well, he trusted God with Saul, and now he's not trusting God with Nabal. That was the difference. So here is a big dilemma taking place. And so Abigail, the wife of Nabal, she steps into action. She intercedes even for both men, her husband and for David. And she works as an intercessor. This morning we mentioned some things about Nabal. And we mentioned that he was a wealthy man. We mentioned that he was a mean-spirited man. In verse number 3, the Bible says he was churlish, mean-spirited. His men, the reason why they went to Abigail to tell her what was going on, the surprise attack, is because they knew they couldn't go to the boss man. He was just an angry man. He was churlish. He was mean-spirited. And so we began talking about Nabal, and we proposed the question, why in the world would Abigail get with Nabal? The Bible mentions that Abigail was a woman of understanding, good understanding, verse 3. And the Bible says she had a beautiful countenance. Why would she even go for a man like Nabal? And so we said that the answer to that, in my estimation, was that Nabal in the beginning probably was one way, but down through time, Nabal changed. He changed. And the man that she met was different over time, no doubt. He became to be a monster. I believe it was the male ego that took over, his success, his wealth, his notoriety, and power. It changed his personality. And we said this morning that Nabal must have been a schmo. Y'all remember that? A schmo. I was fact-checked on that this morning, and it is truly a definition. It is a real word, and y'all forgive me again, but it's a stupid person. Okay? It's a stupid person. Now, there is such thing as a Joe Schmo. Fact-check me on that as well. That means an ordinary man. It's okay to be a Joe Schmo, but just don't be a schmo. All right? And so we believe that Nabal, he turned into a schmo. Now, if Nabal was a schmo in the beginning, I believe Abigail wouldn't even married him. And so he changed, we believe. And now he is this mean-spirited man. And we kind of apply that to us men this morning. We ought not to be men who change and become schmoes. You know what I'm saying? We ought to be the same man and men that our spouses met. We ought to continue to be that man and getting better and better. Many other things we mentioned this morning about Nabal, but I'm going to move on and summarize just a bit about David. We talked about David and how that David, his response to this refusal of food was revenge. I'm going to show him. I'm going to show him. Again, we won't read the verse, but that's found in verse number 13. David's men sorted up. David sorted up, and they were on their way to Nabal's house. And as we looked at David this morning, we got to talking about how that David's attitude was, I'm going to show him. Now, he gave Saul to God, but now David is taking over this situation. How many times in life do we do that? We give God a particular situation, but then under the right circumstances, we kind of take it into our own custody. We try to figure it out. And we said the reason why David did this time and not with Saul, we believe, is because David took it personal. He was personally hurt deeply, I believe. And the reason why I believe that is because he gave his time, he gave his energy and manpower to watch over Nabal's pasture. And all he wanted in exchange was some substance. And that wasn't too much to ask for a rich man. I know if somebody said, came to me and said, hey, I've been watching over your pasture, been protecting it and all that, and all we want is a bag of tacos. Would you be okay to give that? I'll be like, man, thank you. Here's some cheeseburgers, some tacos, some Marco's pizza, some Pizza Hut. Huh? You know, here. But you see, Nabal was a mean-spirited man, and he refused David, and David says, that one hurt. And we applied that to our lives this morning. We can get over some things and thank the Lord that we have been able to. You have, I know, and I have. But how many times do new things come along that really hurt? It's almost like the devil has a way of seeing a place that or one of his demons that we haven't been hurt in, and he goes, stick it there, boy. How about right there? And it has a way of bothering us. So we believe that David took it personal. And David wanted revenge. We said this morning that prisons are full, and I'm of the persuasion of this, prisons are full of good people who snapped under pressure. If you watch the shows, as we watch the shows, crime TV and all of that, you'll find out, especially the show Snapped. Why do you think they named it Snapped? Because good people under the right kind of pressure can snap. So David was going through a time where he was getting ready to snap. Now tonight we want to end the message with, we've already talked about Nabal, David, now Abigail. Abigail. This is Abigail's role in how she became a hero. Now, what did Abigail do? I mean, what did she do with the news about her husband? She heard of Nabal's rejection, and she heard of David's plan to kill him. First of all, she found herself in the middle of a big situation that was going bad fast. Let me say this. One of Nabal's men confided in her. Notice verse number 14. But one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master, and he railed on them. But the men were very good unto us. We were not hurt, neither missed we anything, as long as we were conversant with them. When we were in the fields, they were a wall unto us both by night and day. All the while we were with them, keeping the sheep. Now we see here that one of Nabal's men confided in Abigail. They couldn't go to Nabal. Verse 17 talks about that. He acted as one son of Belial and a man that you couldn't speak to. So he went to the wife. He went to the wife. And when she got word of what was taking place, and she began to understand and recognize her husband's foolishness and the life-threatening situation that he was placing himself in. She also knew that David was a great man, and also he had men of war. And so she knew she had to intervene in this situation. So what does she do? First of all, she intercedes for her husband. She intercedes for him. She could have ignored Nabal's men. Nabal's men could have came to her and she could have said, you know what? I don't care what my mean-spirited husband did. He's got to take care of himself. She could have ignored the word when it came to her. After all, she knows how her husband is. And she's probably given her husband opportunity to change. And he hasn't changed. She could have been like, well, you know, I don't have nothing to do with this. He's getting what he deserves. Go ahead, let David go in and kill him. She could have responded that way, but she didn't. She didn't do that. Instead, she showed love. She showed love by interceding for him. She actually, the Bible says, she made haste, and immediately she got together a bunch of food and she brought it over to David. You can go back and read this account later. It's a lot of great stuff in here. Verse 18 talks about the food Abigail made. Immediately she put on her apron, she hit the kitchen, and she started cooking. She got the servants, got everything loaded up, and went to go head off David, saving her husband that did not deserve it. Verse number 23, the Bible says, and when Abigail saw David, she hasted and lighted off the ass and fell before David on her face and bowed herself to the ground and fell at his feet and said, upon me, my Lord, upon me let this iniquity be. And let thine handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience, in her words, and hear the words of thine handmaid. And so she was interceding for her husband, is what she was doing. She was being gracious and she was being merciful. She trusted that the Lord would deal with him in his mean-spirited attitude, but she was trying to be a godly woman. She was trying to set an example. She was trying to be a leader of godliness and how to conduct yourself under pressure and how to display love. She knew that God would deal with her husband, and so she was showing grace and she was showing mercy by heading off David. Let me say this. I'm not saying stay in an abusive relationship. Get help. Seek help. I'm not saying if there's domestic violence at your place and there's abuse and things like that to just show them grace and show them love. I'm not saying just turn a blinded eye and accept that abuse. Listen, there are so many women that are suffering from domestic abuse physically and mentally. And they're caught up in this vicious cycle and they're brainwashed. Listen, I'm not saying stay in that and keep suffering the abuse. Get some help. But what I'm saying is this is what Abigail did. Abigail, she interceded for her husband. She went to work. She made haste. She says, put my husband's mistake, put that on me. I'll take that one. Put that iniquity on me. Does that sound familiar tonight? The sins that we've committed, God has put on His Son. God has been gracious to us. He has been merciful to us. We don't deserve His love. We don't deserve His mercy. Yet in Scripture, we see that Abigail could even be a type of Christ. She is interceding for her husband that doesn't deserve it. But I want to say tonight that Abigail's wisdom doesn't stop there. She also intercedes for David. And we see this taking place and unfolding in verse number 23 down through 31. I want to say that Abigail talks David off the ledge. You ever heard that terminology before? So-and-so just talked me off the ledge. I was in a bad place. They just talked me off the ledge. Abigail talked David off the ledge. How does she talk him off the ledge? How does she work as an intercessor to David? I mean, David had his mind made up. He was hurt. He was getting ready to go in there and clean house. Number one, she told him to stop. To stop. Number two, she told him to think. And number three, she told him to trust. S-T-T. Stop, think, trust. Look at verse number 25. Stop. She says, let not my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is his gain, or is with him. But I, thine handmaid, saw not the young men of my Lord whom thou didst send. Now, therefore, my Lord, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, sing the Lord. Hath withholden thee from coming to shed blood and from avenging thyself with thine own hand. Now let thine enemies and they that seek evil to my Lord be as Nabal. She is literally saying, stop. My husband is a bad guy. Don't do that. Don't go through with this. Don't take this upon yourself. Don't shed this blood. Don't take a vengeance within yourself. She says, stop. Don't take vengeance. I believe it would do us some good to have some Abigails when there are people going the wrong way that we would dare to say, stop. Don't go that way. Don't make this mistake. Come on, let me talk you off the edge and the ledge. And don't. Vengeance is the Lord, the Bible says. And I know sometimes that we experience difficulty in life, and sometimes we're hurt, and sometimes, listen, we want to take matters in our own hands. But thank God for the Abigails of this world. Thank God for my wife, Christy, who talks me off the ledge sometimes. Thank God for a godly spouse. Thank God for godly women. And thank God for those who are like Abigail that have a word of encouragement at the right time. She says, stop. Don't do it. We know that she fed him. All right. Back in verse number 18. And now verse 25, 26, she says, stop. Verse number 27 through 30, she says, think. Now, she says, God will make you king one day. She says, God has something great for you. She says, you have a great reputation. She also says, you have been in the right fight. Don't change for the wrong fight. You're fighting in the Lord's army. Notice verse number 27. And now this blessing which thine handmaid hath brought unto my Lord, let it even be given unto the young men that follow my Lord. I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thine handmaid. For the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord fighteth the battles of the Lord. So, right now, she says that, listen, you are in the right fight. You are fighting for God. Stay in that fight, David. And evil hath not been found in thee all thy days. David, you have a great reputation. You're fighting in the right fight. You have a great reputation. Stop. Think about it. Don't blow it on my wicked husband. God will get vengeance. Verse number 29, yet a man is risen to pursue thee and to seek thy soul, but the soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God, and the souls of thine enemies, them shall he sling out as out of the middle of a sling. God says, Abigail says, trust the Lord. Think, David, think, trust the Lord. And listen, God will sling them enemies away like they're in a slingshot. Let God tonight fight your battles. Let God tonight do what you can't do. Save your testimony. Stay in the right fight. Let God take a vengeance. He'll start slinging them enemies out one by one. And so she says, think. Verse number 29. And then we'll get down to verse number 30. And it shall come to pass when the Lord shall have done to my Lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning thee, and shall have appointed thee ruler over Israel. She says, David, think. God has a great purpose for you. Don't blow it. Young person, stop. Older person, stop. Think. God has a purpose for you. You have been serving the Lord. You're in the right fight. You have a great reputation. You have a godly reputation. Don't blow it in this moment of temptation and trouble. Don't do it. It's not worth it. This is the lady Abigail working as a negotiator. She is an unsung hero of the Bible. Thank God for godly women. I think about my mom who was there and helped me through my wild days, and my grandma and listen, Christy's family and grandma and all of them and her mother. And I just thank God for godly women who will come alongside of a headstrong man and talk peace and encouragement. That's Abigail. We need some Abigails. The other Sunday we talked about the little maid. We need some little maids. We need some Abigails tonight. We need some Abbies. We need some Abbies. Now, let me say this. That Abigail, she says stop. She says think, and then she says trust. Notice, if you would, verse number 31. That this shall be no grief unto thee, nor offense of heart unto my Lord, either that thou hast shed blood causeless, or that my Lord hath avenged himself. But when the Lord shall have dealt well with my Lord, then remember thine handmaid. She said, David, trust. She said, don't do this. Trust the Lord. She said, you'll have a clear conscience. You'll have a clear conscience. That this shall be no grief unto thee. David, if you do this, it's going to follow you all the days of your life. And many times we buckle under pressure and we make bad choices. And if we ain't careful, it will follow us all the days of our life. So hear the words of Abigail that says, stop, think, trust. She says, you'll have a clear conscience and have been helped by the Lord. But when the Lord shall have dealt well with my Lord, meaning the Lord will deal with your enemies, the Lord will make you king. She said, take that route. Trust in God to take care of it. And when he does, then remember thine handmaid, Abigail. Abigail. So tonight we see that Abigail, she worked as an intercessor for David. She talked him off the ledge. She interceded for her husband. He had no idea what was going to happen. He didn't deserve it, but she did it anyways. Now, what happened? We mentioned it this morning. We didn't read it. But what happened to Nabal? Well, let's see what happens. Notice verse number 36. And Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he held a feast in his house, like the feast of a king. And Nabal's heart was merry with him, for he was very drunken. Wherefore, she told him nothing, less or more, until morning light. So while she was out there taking care of business for him, he was at home getting drunk. That's terrible, isn't it? Look at verse number 37. But it came to pass in the morning, when the wine was gone out of Nabal, and his wife had told him these things, that his heart died within him, and he became as a stone. And it came to pass about 10 days later that the Lord smote Nabal, that he died. Basically, what happened was she told him what happened, and he had a heart attack and died. Why did he have a heart attack and die? I don't know. Could it be that he was upset with his wife that interceded for him? He felt emasculated or demasculated. He felt less of a man. You don't have to fight my battles for me. I'll do it. Could it be that? Could it be that he was just so enraged and caught up in his greed, and he heard about this? I don't know. And it doesn't need any speculation, because it really don't matter. He was taken care of. And David didn't do it. Abigail didn't do it. But it happened. In fact, the Bible says that, and it came to pass after 10 days after that the Lord smote Nabal, that he died. Listen, we ought not to want anybody that has done us wrong to die. But I believe the principle is there, as it is written in the New Testament. If we will give it to the Lord, he will avenge for us. He will settle the score, you know. He will settle the books. And again, we're not wanting anything bad to happen to anybody, because, listen, we're all guilty of doing wrong at some point, and we all deserve to be done away with, if that's the matter. So that's what happened. Let me leave you with this tonight. What do we do in the middle of life's big situations? What do we do in life in general? Two things. We learn from Abigail. We stop. We think. We trust. And then not only do we learn from Abigail, but we be an Abigail. Men and women. We intercede for those who are in trouble and done us wrong by showing love, mercy, and grace. I believe that's why Abigail's story is mentioned here, because she is one that she was an intercessor. She showed great love and mercy, this lady Abigail. We don't know how old she was. It's really irrelevant, but possibly between the ages of 20 and 40. Abigail was. And so tonight, that's the message on Abigail. Nabal, David, and Abigail. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you. We praise you for all things, God. Lord, I pray that we got something out of this story. It's your word. It doesn't return void. So Lord, I pray in the next few moments, as we give an invitation, that if somebody needs to come, they'll come to do business with you. We love you, we thank you, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. We'll have a verse of invitation. We'll have a song, something other Randy's doing. If you need to come, you come. Anybody tonight? appreciate you coming out tonight. Man, been a good day here at Calvary, and had the ladies CLU this afternoon filling out cards for our preachers and singers in the Jubilee choir practice we had at 4 to 5. Been a good day, been a long day, and so I hope everybody has a great night. Go home and rest safely, rest good, and be safe on your way home, what I meant to say. Anyway, and then service will be again on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Anything else to mention? I know we've got sign-up sheets over here for if you want to eat during Jubilee, we'll have you sign up. Also, bring a dessert if you eat. That'll be great, too. And please remember everybody on the prayer list. I know Brother Allen touched on it. But, again, Miss Lucille's homegoing service was on Friday. Great service, standing room only. And what a sweet, sweet service it was all the way around. And so we just remember the Turners on that. And
she was playing Abigail, wasn't she?
Yes, she was. Yes, she was. She was awesome. She was awesome. And again, just remember everybody on the prayer list, and a lot going on. All right. We'll be dismissing a word of prayer, and everybody have a great week. Brother Allen Young, would you do so, brother?
Father, thank you.